Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low, great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davinson Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London. That is absolutely incredible on debut. Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier.
First hand hit to Son. Kane. Good area for Spurs. And Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane. That is exceptional. Lamella, who will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run. Yunmin Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his
My gosh, welcome, welcome, welcome. Footy here. We got the new Spurs order back again under the Touchline Media Group. Bring it back with another eventful week for Spurs. It's been really proactive and eventful again recently. Let's go around and ask how everyone is. Jack, firstly, how are you? Mr. Infamous.
Better. I've still got, I've made a few enemies of late. Alistair Gold, as Yao would say, come on down.
I wouldn't even say he was an enemy, but it was cool how he addressed you. I think he addressed you much better than some of the other people who were in your mentions, let's say. It got a bit sticky for you there, didn't it?
Much more diplomatic, I'd say.
Spurs Twitter famous, Jack. Yao, of the new Spurs order, how you doing?
I think it's been a good week for me. You know, I've had a fan that has no knowledge of football show their annals throughout the week and get eaten up by the Twitter world. So I'm in good spirits, you know. I may give some compliments today. I'm just saying.
Oh, I like how everyone's smiling and in a good mood today. This sticky weather. Dave, you're smiling as well, but generally, how are you doing, man? I love how most of us are repping the Spurs shirts as well, apart from infamous.
Yeah, that's what Jack don't want us to win. Jack don't want us to win, but no. I'm good. I'm out here trying to. I'm trying to keep it even, keep it balanced, and trying to make some friends when everyone else is making enemies. you guys are just going for people, boy.
It's what we're all about. It's what we're all about at the new Spurs order. There, we've got different perspectives, all different opinions flying about, and it's a very nice melting pot, to be honest. I think it works out quite well. Not sure what to cover first. So we have got a few. I'll start with the brief transfer news. There's there's more transfer news which has been announced today, but there's some actual business which looks next to being done. We've got Pierluigi Gollini doing the second part of his medical. He's got the here we go from Fabrizio. 2 year, well, it's a 1 year loan with an option of a second year with an then option of a final fee of something like 15 million euros. Guys, do we think he could be a future number one? Is it an exciting signing in any aspect?
I'd say with Lloris, still with Lloris declining, I'd say it's definitely one for the future, definitely quite forward thinking, and for once being quite proactive in that sense of actually getting a player in fairly early, fairly young for a goalkeeper, and someone that can actually, you know, is looking to actually fulfill that role without having to wait at the last minute. So yeah, it's a positive. It's one of the few positives of late, but it is a positive.
That's what I mean. I kind of respect the proactivity. I respect the business done and the kind of, you know, the way the business deal's been done, because it's not necessarily costing us that much money for a second choice keeper. It's potentially saved us about 10, 15 million on signing a keeper permanently. I don't think he's very good as a keeper, to be honest. I haven't even really given him much of an eye test. But mainly from what I've seen of his eye test, he's been doing rap videos. He seems like a very polarizing, unhinged character. Just like most goalkeepers, to be honest. I think they're all unhinged characters anyway. But he also wears short sleeves in goal. And I never trust a goalkeeper with short sleeves. So for me, it's just one of those. As long as it doesn't cost us much money, it doesn't really bother me, to be honest. It's why just another body.
I want to know why you don't
rate him. Why don't you rate him?
I'm worried.
Why don't you rate him?
You know? Man said he's a write-off already.
That's dampened our spirits, man. We were in a happy mood.
You got to start off with the bad notes, because we got some more positive notes coming on. I thought it would suit the pessimistic characters we have on the pod today. I mean, okay, he's not even first choice at Atalanta, I don't think. So
Is he not? I don't even know about him like that.
I didn't even bother doing a Football Manager scout report on him.
Research on him.
As soon as I saw he wears short sleeves, I was just like, Conference League goalkeeper.
God, it's
come on down. That's fine. We have got a comment for a friend of the pod, Ash. I can tell you firsthand, Gollini is trash. Reason we have loaned him, club ain't even sure. I mean, I think they've got him as an option. Like Paratici, he only really seems to be going through Serie A mostly. And I think with that option to buy, he has got almost a pathway to try and make a place for himself as our number one, because if he does good enough over 2 years, then so we've got a pretty reasonable fee to sign him up for if he is of the quality. But that's a big if. I don't think he is. Has anyone else seen him?
I've seen the YouTube clips, and I don't like Ash has come in and said he's trash, but he's like 193. Is he really that bad?
We wear short sleeves. I don't know what else to say. It's unreasonable logic. It has no rationale, but.
Man. I've seen him a couple of times. I didn't think he was that bad. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of Italian football, but you know, the couple of times I have caught him, I thought he was all right. Didn't necessarily pay attention to him as an option. You know, obviously we've all been talking about Hugo on his way out, declining, that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's on loan, and we do have the Conference League to test out all these players.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah. So
if he's better than Joe Hart, then
he will be better than Joe Hart. I guarantee he'll be better than Joe Hart.
Okay. Brass is better than Joe Hart.
Joe Hart.
You understand how trash Joe Hart?
An open goal is better than Joe Hart. Okay.
Are you hearing this? An open goal and Brass are better than Joe Hart.
Right. If you hit the ball from 20 yards, if you hit the ball outside the box, it's getting in. Right. Who did we play? Was it Marine, where the guy hit it from like 30 odd yards or whatever? And Joe Hart tried to look as if he, I knew it was gonna just, you know, hit the bar or whatever. Nah, man, Joe Hart needs to go.
Whiteman's all right.
Yeah, I was going to come to him on in the Colchester game, actually. But we'll get on to it. We'll get on to it. Oh, we've got some more analysis as well with Gallini. We've got Malakash. If you're listening to the podcast, we've got a friend of the podcast commenting on the stream, just giving us a whole scout report rundown of Gallini. If you're still listening or watching, Ash, is he better or worse than Michel Vorm? I think if he's an improvement on him and or Joe Hart, then...
Is Vorm even on himself? That guy was useless.
We signed him last year as well.
He was useless in real life. What a useless individual. Just useless. You've brought me back to being upset. I told you I wasn't going to insult nobody. Yeah. How are you bringing up things like this? What's wrong with you?
At least this way, we might actually not draw to Lask anymore. So that's a positive. We might actually scrape a win against Lask 3-2 this time around. Rather than draw 3-3, so
shocking.
Hey, we'll see.
Vorm's still at the club, isn't he? He's like goalkeeping coach.
I thought he was sacked.
I don't know, bub. I don't know.
I can't take this, you know. I can't.
There you go. We've got Ash saying he thinks on the eye test they're probably on par with each other, Gallini and Michel Vorm. So yeah. No, it's not one that excites me. It's not one that excites me.
Yeah,
but it's just the clever business still, to be honest. Like, money wise, it saves us about 10, 15 million at least. That's my main takeaway from it.
We've just signed
someone without spending money, and we can free it up for more priority positions like centre back. But we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Another imminent signing, which has been given the here we go, which I'm excited about for one reason more than the other, is the incoming of Brian Gill. I don't know if I'm going to be saying his name right. So
Brian Gill.
Okay, I'll get the Spanish. Gil. 19 years old, I believe. Pretty much plays like a winger, left-footed. He mainly plays on the left, or mainly has been playing in the left in Spain, but I believe we've probably signed him to play on the right-hand side. He seems comfortable there. Dave, what are your initial thoughts on him coming in?
I think it was last week I said I don't know what Nuno's going to do in terms of formation. I'll be looking forward to seeing what he wants to do. he's setting up with a back four, and if you look at the likes of his Wolves teams, he had he always had a good dribbler. I mean, whether it be Jota or is it Podence last season, and what he tends to be with like a Nuno team, he wants not just a dribbler for the sake of dribbling, not just endless ball rolls with your left foot, okay, like Eric Lamy, right? Not just going into dark corners of the pitch like Lucas Morapid or whatever, right? It's all about end product. And for me, yeah, from what I've seen of this kid, and I hadn't seen much, but it's direct and it's got end product. And I think for us, it's probably going to be an option off the bench for the first 6-7 months, I think. I don't see him starting many games, especially coming off the back of the Olympics. But boy, he's going to be exciting for us as fans to watch. And I think having someone, because, you know, we always talk about it, you know, 70 minutes trying to make a change, you're bringing on Lamella, we all know nothing's really going to happen. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's a exciting signing. Definitely, obviously, still one for the future because he's only 19. And I hope we give him a good run and he pays off because, yeah, I you know, seeing someone on the left foot on the left, just going at people, getting past them, and then having something to at the end of that, that's something we've lacked for a number of years. A number of years.
What are you saying? Spanish Aaron Lennon, maybe?
Nah.
My main takeaway from it is I mean, the business deal itself. I mean, if he is as good as he's potentially meant to be for the fee that we've paid and for the make weight bit of Deadwood, and I'm a pour a glass for him. It's Eric Lamella. Cheers, Simi. has finally left
Mumbai.
Was there any other takeaways from the Brian Gilgill that we excited about him? Aqua.
What's your thoughts on Lamela going?
Does he make you want the team to do well, Jack? Or
Eric Lamela is one of the people that was making me want Spurs to lose. He was the infinite ball rolls, the constant. Yeah, he'll go in with a tackle, but then he'll pass it to the opposition, and then he'll again take 20 years to release the ball if he does ever receive it, and then he'll Rabona it because his right foot is just absolutely
nonsense. Oh my god. I forgot about that. He has no right foot.
So it's mad because, like, weirdly, I'm like a Lamela fan. Like, weirdly. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of. Let me land. The plane is way too high right now. Let me call
you're
it.
Right. You're high.
But what I mean by weirdly, I mean, like, I like the fact that when he comes on, he's got passion. Yeah, I like the passion. But after passion, it's horrific. Yeah, all this ball rolls, some of the end product is, and the Rabona. I mean, yeah, he scored two fabulous Rabona goals. Yeah. One of them was in a winning effort. The other, we lost to our home rivals. Yeah, I ain't got time for that kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see goals of that quality if we're on the losing team. I don't want to see it. So, in terms of Lamela, we've got rid of you from Scott Hall of the NSL. You was on the list of the brothers to come on down. You've come on down. Well done. We applaud you because you took that first step. Now get the blood fire out of town. Yeah, we have no more sentimental for you whatsoever. And call Briano Hill to the lane.
I mean, there was also some other good news outside of potential incomings. I mean, I don't know if we'll get to that now, but Owen, you make that decision because I'm itching. I'm not gonna lie.
I just wanted to add.
Sorry, Mello, you got our club for 9 years and averaged 4 goals a season.
What?
He averaged 4 goals a season. Like
what?
Yeah. That's how.
If we deep it as it stands, as well, he's got to move to a better club. Technically.
Somehow,
in the Champions League.
Yeah, annoying.
Fair to him. He's one of them players that will get, you know, he'll get games wherever he goes. But yeah, I think 2-3 years with us, at best. It was quite obvious early on he was going to struggle with injuries. It's quite obvious early on he didn't have the end product that we thought he'd have from Roma. Or wherever we bought him from. And he was like one of our record signings. And remember, he came in with the Bale 7 and he was supposed to be the one replacing Gareth Bale.
Yep.
I mean, that might be the biggest drop-off, right? Since, I don't even know. That is a drop-off and a half.
Out of that Bale 7, he was the one I was most excited about.
His hip broke after the first month. You know what's mad about Lamela? He was on transports. Remember back in the day when transports would like look at new up-and-coming kids and you'd be like, that's the kid I want in my club. Lamela was on that. He finally comes and he destroyed the whole show. You can't find transports nowhere. Yeah, the show is bankrupt. Yeah, because they put their freaking shares in this kid and he went to put the shares plummeted, dumped, all because this youth decided to break his hip after 1 month. Non-entity, bro. Well, as I said, Lamela has come on down. I'm very proud of him. Because it takes courage to come on down. Yeah. And he has done that. And now he can get the hell out of the lane. Briano, welcome.
Do you remember his debut where in the North London Derby?
Yeah.
He came on and just there was 50 ball rolls in like 3 minutes. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. I remember I was on the train watching it, right? And everyone was saying, he might get on because he'd been injured, didn't he? He came and he got injured or something. Or he was injured when he arrived. We should have seen it from them. We should have read the tea leaves from them. Comes on the North London Derby, And I think in the first minute, he did a couple of ball rolls and a slide tackle. And literally defined his whole Spurs career in 1 minute. A couple ball rolls and a bad slide tackle. I'm done. We're good.
Yeah. Lamella, thank you for the memories. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was actually fun watching you at Old Trafford last season. And that's where you peaked for me. You should have just stayed that team from there. And thank you, Jordan. Just my final takeaway on that, Brian Gill as well. Like, I like his profile. I like the fact he's a direct dribbler. He's going to be effective against low blocks, I think. However, I'm not that excited about the signing yet either, purely because, and I'm not even judging this trim either. I just think it's going to take him a little bit. I think it's going to take him a fair bit of time to settle, acclimatize, and settle in the Premier League. Especially physically. I just get those Aspas vibes off him. It's not even so much the trim. I think there's going to be barbers in London that are going to sort him out. Like, they sorted out day. Do you remember when they sorted out Diego Costa?
They can't see that. Wait, that trim, yeah.
I said I wasn't even attacking this trim, by the way.
But you highlighted it, so we have to examine the trim. We've cost Koundé for like 4 weeks, of his indecisiveness. But what I will say about Brian's trim, this is going to sound a bit biased, isn't it? But he has to keep that trim. It's horrible, but that's his powers. Like, I can see that the trim goes into the brain and tells him to jink left, jink right. It's different. Koundé's one, it's leaving his hair. It's coming in like this, He needs to come on home, because this nonsense where it's all bold here and he has no clue what's going on, that's nonsense. But with Brianno, with that that's mega mind helmet is helping him with
imagine, you know, when you go play ball, right, maybe like five aside or whatever, you see that one kid and you think, nah, you can't do nothing.
To be honest,
at worst I reckon you'll become a bit of a cult figure amongst the fans. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think keep it, he's the fifth Beatle. He's bringing it back. Do you know what I mean? And to be honest, the last time we were relevant, the Beatles were in the charts, so it might work out for us.
Omen, good omen.
What an omen indeed. But yeah, that's my main takeaway, especially like physically. If he's going to be playing on the right, most of the time he's going to be dribbling off the right, obviously into people's midfields. It's going to be quite a congested area. I do remember this as well. This actually crossed my mind, with Messi having the same trim when he broke through. But
that hat trick versus Barcelona, that
Messi hasn't done it in the Premier League, so you know
that hat trick against Real Madrid.
You would though.
Haircut.
Yeah, I know.
He would though. They can't be the, you know, when people are like, he can't dare in the Premier League, bro, he would beat up everyone.
Yeah, I'm taking Messi, the piss. He would Messi for sure.
Messi would beat up everyone. That guy's strong.
Boy. But yeah, is
there any more transfers?
I'm being a bit of a tease here, because there's obviously some quite big news regarding a centre back. But there's a comment here from Tyler442, who's said, I hear Griezmann's been offered to Tottenham. Is this real? True. Has anyone else actually heard this?
No, it's actually, it's true. I don't know how true, because I have been following this story. So there is a lot of murmurs going out that he has been offered not just to Tottenham, but to a number of clubs. To be honest with you, I don't think anyone really wants to touch Griezmann, not because of his wages, but because of what he did in China. Or was it Japan? I can't remember which country it is. But he basically said some he done some naughty stuff. And obviously the man there are trying to get him off FIFA, trying to get him off eFootball and all them kind of stuff. They don't want him on no platforms. He might even get deleted off Champ, because it was a bit of a mad video still, I can't lie. So he has been offered out. Obviously, Barcelona are going to come out and deny it and say he's their player and all that kind of jazz. But he has been offered out to clubs. Would I take him at Spurs? I would, you know, because I don't want Ali. So, regardless of what he said in China or Japan, I would actually take him, because Ali can bounce.
I love how that came as you said it. Like.
Ali did the same thing, didn't he?
What? Did he?
Yeah, he did something quite similar towards Asian people. From what I remember,
he was in the hotel room when Ousmane Dembele was saying his thing, and he was like giggling along, laughing, enabling it. You could say so. It's a dodgy one still.
Young,
scary, dicey. Thank you, Romario Coys, for the condolas. Iniesta never had a hairline, but he was always a baller. He
gets nah, that's harsh because Iniesta wouldn't he did have the trim, but obviously due to the stress of being such an incredible baller, man lost his hair. That's fine. Zidane, we've had players like that, Cannavaro, all come through with the long hair. Due to the stress of being a baller, they've lost their hair and they've known when to kind of like trim it down. But Koundé has no clue what's going on with his hair. And we can't have my man at our club doing that. It's ridiculous.
It's mad. And yeah, Tyler 442 making the point that Dele Alli did his thing on his Snapchat, which was very recent as well. Just taking a visit of Asian people. It's not great. It's not good. Shout out to Sabalos as well. Like, she's been absolutely representing East Asians to fall on the timeline, and she's been getting nothing but pretty much abused for it quite a lot, to be honest. And for her to keep on sticking her neck out like she does despite the threats, it's really admirable. So shout out to Mel. And I guess we'll have to try and get all these Asian abusers out of our club, to be honest.
Yeah.
It seems like we have more than I remember. But, we're going to have to get onto the big news now, which has been slowly developing over the past few days. It's accelerated today. Christian Romero. There was a journalist which tweeted that, okay, personal terms have been agreed. Fabrizio also said that, even though there was some tier 3 source which got put in our chat by the weasel over at Touchy Gooners, saying that he rejected personal terms. He has, in fact, according to tier 1 sources, agreed personal terms, but we're just agreeing the fee. And it seems like, without jinxing it, like we have a tendency to do on this pod, it's probably just me that jinxes it, to be honest. Agreed a fee in something like the region of £40 million with 10 in add-ons. Like a little cheeky football manager purchase where you just add on the monthly installments and the bonuses just to make up for the money. Boys, who wants to take it away? Because is he the profile of defender we need and the quality of defender we need?
He's a defender that loves to defend. And I think that is something we've
agreed been
dying out for. I think you can argue Vertonghen was that the last one to actually enjoy the art of defending at our club. And we need someone like that because Sanchez clearly doesn't enjoy defending. Dyer just doesn't enjoy football because he
don't mention his name.
Everything.
Don't mention that fool's name. Diabolical. Don't mention his name.
Polygon.
He doesn't play for our club. That's an agent.
Hexagon head. Yeah.
Better.
He doesn't enjoy football clearly because he's just not good at anything he does when he is on that pitch.
Can't even fight people in the stadium.
He can't even climb properly. Whatever he does right, I want to know because it's a mystery to me. But yeah, Romero, young, 23, loves to defend. Was
23.
Yeah, was pretty impressive in the Copa America. And yeah, I think I'm not even gonna lie, I'm more excited the outgoings than the incomings. To be honest, I'm just gassed that potentially Sanchez could be gone. So, and we're replacing him with someone infinitely better.
I haven't seen much of Romero because I really kind of like dropped my quota on Serie A games. I tend to watch Inter Milan because they're like my Serie A team. They're my Italian team. But I haven't really watched much over the last season and a half. And any of Atalanta's games I've watched were in the Champions League. Now, looking at Romero, I'm like, yeah, he looks like he's tough to get past. But is he a rash defender?
Because it seems like a better version of Davinson Sanchez, similar profile. I feel like Davinson Sanchez is the type that likes to try and step out of the defensive line, tries to win the ball quickly, head of the attacker. But I mean, Romero's, I mean, he speaks for himself. And even though I don't feel like Serie A defenders tend to do that, like whenever I watch Serie A, it's almost stand off, make him work a long shot and just try and cut off the passing lanes type defending. Whereas Romero just goes against all of that and ends up being very aggressive and ended up going forward to win the MVP Serie A defender of the year. I'd just say MVP defender of Serie A. Someone put his just a bit of stat analysis in there and it kind of scores it out of 99 on fbref.com. I think it was Tobes. Shout out to Happin Tobes who put it in the chat. No doubt. Topless Tobes right now in this weather. Happy birthday for yesterday again. For pressures, he scores 99 out of 99. For tackles, he scores 98 out of 99. Interceptions, 99 out of 99. Blocks, 83 out of 99. And per game, it's 16 pressures per game, 2.85 tackles per game, 2.73 interceptions. So he's actually very good aerially as well. I don't think he's the tallest Donny. However, he's got a bit of a leap on him and scores 3.8 aerial duels won per game with a score of 91 out of 99. So what does a signing of this caliber of defender mean for us, and where can it take us coming the end of the season if we do see it out? Touch wood.
Means nothing if we don't get another defender of that quality.
Yeah.
That's very, very fair. We've got a question in from Tyler442 again. Who would you partner him? Because, I mean, this could even just depend on formation. For me, if it's a back three, I would partner him with Tomiyasu and Joe Rodon as it stands. But that's based on, I don't know who else we're maybe potentially signing or who's going to be leaving.
Oh, okay. You chose that off the basis of what we're currently linked to or what we currently have.
Yeah, currently. I mean, Tomiyasu hasn't even been officially announced yet either. So I'll just take the kind of tier one sources that the deal's pretty much almost done as so, it is, because it sounds more promising than what we've got currently.
So I'm definitely... No, I want Skriniar. So yeah, I was going to be diplomatic about it. I was going to be nice, but it's not going to happen. So I want to see Skriniar, Romero, and I'll even allow Tomiyasu, even though I don't know much about him, but I'll leave him alive. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I don't want to see Toby. I do not want to see Toby. If I see Dyer line up or even be on the bench for any of these games, I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it. I don't care. I'm not watching it on Match of the Day. I'm not watching the highlights. I don't care if we win. I'm not. So long as this guy remains at this club and makes his name onto the team sheet, I'm not watching a minute of Tottenham Hotspurs. Yeah.
What if he scatters his, what if he scatters his ashes? What then?
Across where?
Over the stadium.
Hey, listen. Yeah, I've been watching that. Stop this. Listen,
I can't believe he said that.
I've watched Endgame, and I've just finished watching Loki. I will obliterate the timeline to bring this guy back into a human form, to batter him and spread those ashes all over them ass aliens, them United, them Chelsea. I will spread it all over there. That's the clubs that deserve such bad omens, yeah? Not our club. Why should we have his unrelatable, can't climb up the stadium to go defend your brother, ashes across our... You haven't done nothing to deserve our honour. What kind of nonsense is this?
Yeah, if you just announced a pre-contract agreement to join the TVA to eliminate all variants of Eric Dier, can you confirm or deny?
My lawyers have permitted me to not answer such questions until requested at such later dates, unfortunately. So I plead the fifth.
That's absolutely fair. Dave, what were your takeaways on signing Christian Romero?
Romero. I'm a fan of his. I watched a bit of the Copa America, and he played very well, and he was a standout defender. again, I think I said this I might say that online actually. You need to partner him with the right player. You need to put him next to the right player. And it'd be interesting to see, and I think obviously we'll touch on this when we talk about maybe some of the pre-season stuff, some of the fixtures, if we play higher up the pitch, how that affects him. Because even Sanchez is a poor, you know, imitation of a defender at the moment. But when he first came in and we were playing higher up the pitch, he looked all right. He's got the pace to recover. He wasn't so fond of the shoulder barge every 5 minutes or whatever. But as we've gone deeper and deeper and more defensive, that's when you start to find out, because under pressure, Sanchez just crumbles or he starts spinning on the floor like he did against Man City. So I think it'll be important for us to play a bit higher up the pitch and have Romero, you know, as much as he loves to defend, not necessarily want a team that's under pressure all the time. And it looks like, from what Nuno's doing, that he's going to want us to be a little bit more progressive than we've seen in the past 18 months under Mourinho. So, yeah, I think it's a positive. But, yeah, get another guy in, partner with him. Otherwise, we'll just be stuck with a guy who wins headers, but then Dyer tries to clear the ball and ends up in the back of the net, or Sanchez is giving away penalties, or Toby ain't got the legs anymore. Rodon and Tanganga, they're young. I think they've still got another season of development before we even look at them as anywhere near starters. So, yeah, get another one in with him and we should be good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you guys noticed that both Dick and Dom, Dyer and Sanchez, they both performed better on the dance floor than they did on the pitch? Because Dyer was breakdancing to concede a penalty against Werner, and then you have Davinson Sanchez doing a head spin. So honestly, like, they should retire now and just, you know, make their way to
dynamic duo on the dance floor.
Exactly. I think that'll work. I think those are good careers for them. That is the one thing Dyer is good at. I found it. Boom.
I mean, that's, I can't disagree with that statement at all, based off last season, especially. Man, there's other transfer news going across. I'll get to just like my main takeaway, like that Christian Romero, like we all said, like he on paper he sounds like a very, very good defender. You don't really win MVP in your league if you're bad. You don't win Copa America if you're bad. And I like the intent as well, because it sounds like we're spending pretty big money on him. If the fee reported is true, then he becomes more expensive than what we paid for Sanchez. And yeah, it's the intent as well as the quality of player we're signing, which excites me. And again, like, if we are going to be looking at that caliber of player, why not sign another one in that position? Why not sign Emiliano Skriniar? Because I think we could even get Skriniar cheaper than what we're getting Romero for, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, we'll wait and see. I think like caliber signings like this are something that can propel us to get top four, but obviously we need to concentrate on the outgoings as well. Paratici, being proactive with that as you can be. I think you can only do so much if you're Paratici. Like, you can tell players and their agents to, okay, find a new club, and then it's the agents that really have to do the work. But then Paratici seems to turn around and just be like, well, if you can't find a new club, I'll just offer you as a make weight in a deal. So yeah, more credit to him.
Smart guy.
And there's been a rumoured list of players which are on this hit list. Certain players have avoided it, which is surprising. It'll be surprising if it is true, but to name them, it was Eric Dier, Davinson Sanchez, Harry Winks.
Oh, yeah!
Say that louder. Louder.
Say that one again.
I think the host needs to turn his mic up.
You made me forget the other names now. Lamella was, I think, the other one. And maybe even Lucas Moura.
You missed one.
No, I said it. You heard me. You just wanted me to say it again.
Oh,
you heard me loud and clear.
But I repeat it for you. Harry Ostinko, yeah? That guy better sign that contract and go all the way to Merseyside to fill in the boots. You know what? Yeah, it's probably best that you cut this off right now.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't understand parcel tongue, so I don't know.
I'm innocent.
Innocent of what? Spitting on Harry Winks? Or
I didn't. Look, I wasn't there. Yeah, you can't prove I was there.
To be fair as well, Harry Winks has been one of the ones which has been rumoured to leave to Everton. Just a little side note, Sissoko and Ben Davis were the ones that weren't on the list, surprisingly.
Yeah, they're getting deleted. We can't find clubs with them, so you just got to delete them off the database. just accept that they're not there.
Yeah, it's like a Phil Jones at Man United. You just, you know what? They're around. they're in the building.
Just shrug your shoulders. When you see them, you're like, oh, Wagwa fam. Yeah. I didn't know you were here.
I swear, Sissoko's best use is literally as a little link guy between anyone that comes in from France or anyone that speaks French, that comes into our club. He's the guy. He hooks them up with some gums. He hits them up with a car. He's that guy.
Finish, bro. Sissoko is really dry, bro. Like, seriously.
How much are we taking for Winks, though?
Even sell him on champ.
How much are we taking for Winks? Because I've got to be honest, though. I've been playing FMS Spurs during the Euros, and I did sell him. I got about 20 million to sell him to Ajax. Who did you sell him to? As in who, or who did I sell him to?
Yeah, who did you sell him to?
Ajax.
Impossible! Wow. What?
Ajax. No,
you rigged the game. You rigged the game.
That wasn't Ajax.
You rigged the game.
That wasn't Ajax. That was Ajax, man.
Yeah. You rigged the game.
He went to Benevento 2 years later for 2 million.
That, you see, that sounds about right.
That's on the game. That's on the game. Okay, how much are we taking from him in real life? 20, 25 mil?
I'm taking zero. Delete him. Yeah, just sack him. I don't care. Just let him. Give him the new away kit. Yeah, because I think it looks pretty decent, to be fair. So give him the new away kit and a little, you know, the little membership pack. Yeah, hand that to him. Hand him a little watch because he's, you know, giving us a tenure, and say, walk out that door right there, turn right, get on the 279, and wherever that bus stops, find a club around that region, innit? That's your place.
I love how you're going to be in Liverpool on the weekend as well. I don't know if you're planning to spit on him again. A proper weekend.
I'm talking to a few clubs here. Let me next get you up. So my journeys are not just for partying, but there is going to be there is going to be some transfer talks because I want some brothers gone soon. I'm looking to really help Everton decline. I think that's the best way of putting it. If we can get three, four players to Everton, they're going to go down the pan.
Can you imagine a midfield of Tom Davies and Harry Winks?
Ooh, it stinks.
Like bland as ever, my friend.
There was a few people in our group chat who this time last year swore blind. I think it may have only been one member of the group chat that swore blind that Everton had a better midfield than us after they signed Doucouré and who else did they sign? It was Alan. So, yeah. I mean,
at the time.
Nah, James Rodriguez is just flamboyant, bro. There's nothing. I've never rated James Rodriguez, so I wasn't somebody who thought Everton had a better midfield, but I did. I was interested in Doucouré, to be fair. I was thinking.
You know what? I was just thinking that if we swapped Winks with Doucouré, that would actually help us out. We don't need Winks anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the midfield can get by without Harry Winks, but we do need cover defensively. You know, and obviously Skip's going to play a big role next season. Højbjerg, but it was clear, like we always said, you know, Højbjerg was playing way too many minutes. So if we can get a Doucouré in as well, that will help cover that, and maybe we can build a midfield three, just a few more options. It looks like tactically that's what he wants to do, or what Nuno wants to do. So I think that could be, yeah, that could be an option. But yeah, shout out to Oliver Skip though, holding it down. Preseason magic.
Yeah,
you guys seen the pass?
Oh yeah. That's something that Winks has never done, even in his dreams. That guy's trash. Get that kid out, bruv.
Boy, we'll get into that. We'll get into it. That's pretty much all the transfer goings on. Hopefully, we do see more outgoings, because generally, I still think it's probably more important than the incomings as it stands. And
definitely,
with that and some of these caliber incomings that we are looking to bring in, I think we should really be looking to get in top four. I think that's what it can mean for us. I don't think it's going to take many signings. That might even sound optimistic to some, but I mean, there's others that, I just want my club to do well. That's me personally.
I want silverware.
That's just me personally, but
yeah, I want silverware, man.
I'm not sure if, everyone in the stream would have seen this, but, there was a certain tweet which went pretty much Spurs Twitter viral. Did numbers, got addressed by Alistair Gold as well, who eloquently addressed it, shall we say, more eloquently than others who quote tweeted it. Jack, take it away. What was going on in your Twitter sphere?
It's quite simple, really. The group of players we currently have, the ones that aren't good enough, the ones that continue to fail us and continue to, you know, somehow warrant, you know, remontada status. Ali, Winks, Dyer, all of them lot.
Okay.
They are the ones that I want to fail so badly that they go straight away. That was the point of my tweet. That was the... I don't want the club to fail. I just want these poor, terrible footballers to fail so that we can succeed as a club in the long term. But obviously, Spurs fans, these Brexit dons out here, they're clearly very myopic. They're not very forward-thinking. They're not very intelligent. They just see words of a tweet without actually thinking about the overarching point. I don't want Tottenham Hotspur Football Club to fail. I want these group of players to either go, and if they stay, they need to fail so that we can get them out, ship them off to another part of Europe where they can play their football, and we can bring in actual quality. And if the Paratici's doing what he's doing, and he continues to do what he's doing, then that may happen sooner rather than later, and we may not have to fail at all. But if we are to persist with some of these useless beings at the football club, then they have to fail for people to realise that this club needs an absolute rock to actually change, to actually go be on the up again, to succeed. That was my initial point. That was my overarching point. But obviously, Tottenham fans and football fans in general aren't very smart, aren't of a very high IQ. They won't get it. But hey, at least at Touchline Hotspur, we have, you know, brain cells here. You know, we can debate it, but we can actually acknowledge there are good points being made. And not
listen, not everything that Jack gave right there, yeah, I'm applauding it. Let me give this to the people out here. Let me come close to the camera so you guys can see the twang, yeah? Listen, everything Jack just said, that's new Spurs order. Yeah, none of this nonsense legacy fans that you guys have been pouring on your Twitter handles. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Susan, and you, Peter. Get that crap off. Yeah, we're the new team in town. Yeah, it's the real stuff out here. We get stuff done. Yeah, when the new Spurs all the talk, it happens. Yeah, when we knock, it's a different kind of knock. Yeah, we talked about Lamella getting out. We got him out. Yeah, not Paratici. Don't worry about that. Yeah, don't worry. There's other men we're coming for too. Dyer, you're coming on down. I know you're trying to hold on to the rafters, but we're pulling you. Yeah, you're coming down. Ali, we're coming for you. Yeah,
piece by piece, them dreads are coming off. We're coming for you. Yeah, you're not going to survive. Jax just gave you guys the warning. We're not one of these fans. Oh, he plays for the club. He loves us. We're going to support. We're not one of these fans no more. Yeah. Owen, ex-Puck, Jack out of here. I think we gave Booker T, but, you know, we're working around that still. You got Dave out here with the Giant. You got me, none other than Scott Hall. I told you the new Spurs order is not a joke no more. Stop this nonsense. We're here for trophies, silvers, armpit lifting.
Does anyone want the Conference League or nah?
Give me that league, man. There's no point of being in it and not taking it. I want trophies.
But with when Alistair Gold did actually address Jack's tweet, he was saying, you know, it's that he did get it as well. I'd say he's an intelligent Spurs fan. Fair play to him. And his takeaway was that Spurs had learnt their lesson and looking to rectify it. Like, do we agree with that? Do you think Spurs have learnt their lesson yet? Or
the jury's out. The jury is 100% out. The season hasn't started yet, so...
Can't
actually say that they've learned their lesson yet. It's way too early. We need to give it two seasons. We need to see silverware. We need to see us climbing up the table for there to be any kind of or judgment to say we've progressed and we've changed. Simple as that.
Man, I'm saying they've learned their lessons. How did you learn your lessons from dropping from first to seventh? You bums. Sort it out, bruv. That's not a lesson. That's a slapping. Yeah, sort it out. Taking the piss.
Oh, shit. Yeah, do you know what? With Paratici as well recently, like, it is positive for me that Levy has hired him, has given him the reins, but where he's been doing some good work at the moment, I've almost, there's like kind of GIF / video of that guy who like goes to celebrate and he runs back to the bench and he's just like, and that's been me every time we've almost like announced something. Like, we've still got a stay on Levy and Paratici's neck, but it's looking good so far. I do need to see some more people leave. Maybe not the same people Jack wants to see leave or others want to see leave, but players still need to leave. Sorry, Dave.
No, I've just seen a tweet which about Paratici, right? How he secured, we're hoping Romero comes in, yeah? Saying he secured Romero whilst watching Spurs versus Colchester, whereas Hitchin went to Milan to get Skriniar and came back with a bag of duty-free hot chocolate. Bruv. Spurs Twitter is loving Don Paratici in the moment. I think for me, it's the fact that he looks like, obviously, that, you know, everyone talks about how he works non-stop. I saw Fabrizio was tweeting at like 2-3 in the morning, a development on the Lamella swap. You know, so obviously he's getting things done, or at least putting us better placed in the shop window, because we've always been in shop windows looking for players like Leandro Damayo or whatever his name was for 10 years. Right,
and he has a cartel now, bro. He's done out here.
it's good to have a little bit more momentum, and let's see what happens.
Hey, by the way,
weird about Paratici for me, like, I was thinking, Rod, did he have a great tenure at Juve? Because I can't remember what his tenure was, and I know Juve could buy whoever they really wanted at that time, but if his tenure was, say, the last 6 years. Then this is a good sign for us, because, like, obviously, we heard from Ali Gold, we heard from Fabrizio saying that he doesn't really sleep, you know, he works 24/7 and all that kind of stuff. But you kind of take all of that stuff with a pinch of salt. But it's kind of coming to fruition, because, like, this week is hectic. And, like, Romero, like, we're getting players in before we've sold. Well, I don't even think we sold two players yet. That is not the Spurs way. You know why? Because the new Spurs order have been knocking. Yeah. Do you hear that? That's us at your front door. We don't even need to be let in. We'll come round the back, bruv. I mean,
entrance music pending, I think. Yeah. With Paratici, like, his last few years, like, I would make a caveat for him while he was at Juventus, in the sense that he obviously had, obviously, that pulling power, the resources, obviously, are better than we have at Spurs. And yeah, fair play, he's proactive signing players. Like, he got in a bit of trouble for obviously not selling, which is our first priority, so it's a little bit dicey. His proactivity when it comes to signing players also got in a little bit of trouble here and there, even though he signed some gems. He also signed Morata twice. So, I mean, as I say, it's a wait and see thing with him. Yeah, but
he wanted Gattuso as well as manager. So,
yeah, it's scary.
So far, it's very
can't forget that.
There's some good things and there's some absolutely dreadful things he's done. So the jury's out again. We need to see. I'm liking the proactivity. I'm liking the fact that he's working his arse off rather than, you know, getting those duty-free chocolates from Milan, which, by the way, you know, the tax is very high. So to be fair, you know, it's got Levy written all over it. But...
Yeah, Steve Hitchin was there for 2 weeks, bruv. He was there for 2 weeks. Come back with hot chocolate or whatever. Nah,
man came back with trainers, bruv. That's what he came back with. Bare Nikes and...
He came back with excuses, bruv.
I know he went Zara as well. I know that for sure. 1,000,000% he went Zara.
It was Milan Fashion Week that week as well.
I don't know. It was. I'm telling you, he went Zara. There was some gems.
Bruv, he was on holiday, man. He weren't doing no business out there.
Look, snitching, Hancock, they all and Cummins, they're all the same, bruv. Them man they didn't get the job done, so they're just letting information go out to the press. Yeah. Snitch is the one that stopped us from getting a manager for 72 days. Cummins has released Hancock sex tape. It's a mess in this nation right now, yeah. I'm just glad that we got snitching to the side and we got Paratici trying to move little stuff. But Jax is right. That move for Gattuso was dirty. Yeah.
Since Paratici officially started his job, he's been much better.
Yeah, he's been on job. He's been on job.
That was in that pre. Man was still on the engagement team.
It's true.
You had to learn the power of Spurs Twitter because there was no way that guy was coming to our club.
Now they're telling the truth because, you know, obviously before he started, he thought, oh, yeah, I'm coming to Spurs. Mine can still beat a few things in Milan, you get me? You know, doing kind of like, I won't say his names, but doing them kind of vibes. You know them, brother O, for other people, you get me? But, but what Paratici has done has realised when you come over and you officially assign, you got to be married to the club. And he's been married to the club, bruv. He's doing little things here and there. Before that, he was doing, you know, Watch the Throne kind of vibes. Man was touring, you know. He's doing Otis and all that kind of madness. No more Otis. He's out here. He's doing Rockefeller. I'm happy. Let's keep it up. Hear me? Because he don't really know what we're about. I don't think he realised. Well, Tottenham, man, we'll riot our own bloody area, bro. So good luck to you if you mess up. We'll burn that whole stadium down tomorrow, bro. Don't mess with us.
Nah, we'll have guitars and concerts.
Yeah. But that's for the man that spent £60. Not me, bruv. If I turn up, it's gonna be awesome.
Now I've got to throw a slight spanner in the works because I mean, as we record on this very sticky, dicey Thursday evening, there's just been news from several sources coming through that Spurs have been letting and Levy has been giving Harry Kane the permission to join City. Something in bad terms, and we're probably going to accept a bid in the region of something like 125 to 150 million. It seems to have gathered some pace. There was obviously rumours earlier on in the week that he made, like this is from a journalist at The Independent as well, I believe, that he may not even turn up to training to force a move, like almost Dimitar Berbatov style. Does anyone have any quick thoughts on that? Because I mean, I've said before, like I would lean on letting him leave and try and use the money as best we can to reinvest in the team. Because essentially, I don't think Harry Kane's really connected to the team, to be honest. But yeah, what would your guys' thoughts be?
Yeah, I saw this as it was coming through. I saw 160 from Man City. There's two reports of this. Like there's 160 mil from Man City. Harry Kane's been told last week that he can leave. 400 grand a week salary up there in at the Etihad. All the other report I'm seeing is that there's about four players in some sort of mad exchange. But it is also coming out of the Sun. They're the ones leading the story. And to be honest, until I see someone a little bit more credible, it might just be clutching at a few shorts. It could be that Kane and the board had a meeting last week and he said he walked out and went, oh, it sounded positive. And that's what they're going from. Do you know what I mean? You know, it was interesting though. He was at his brother's wedding last week. His brother got married last week. And I actually thought to myself, I wonder if Kane was there. Obviously, he would be there. But I wonder if, you know, any talks. Because as we know, Charlie Kane is Harry's agent. So, obviously, everything's kind of centering around things happening at the weekend. He's at the wedding. Apparently, he's made a speech. He's told people that he's going. It all sounds a bit stretched. But 160, we need to invest that. So well, if we're going to do it, we need to get a top class striker in to replace that, to replace him, and then it also frees our funds. If we haven't been purchasing players already on the Kane money, you know, them ones where you know you're going to get 160 in, so you start spending it on different players already before people know about it. We'll see. I don't think he would leave this summer. I thought maybe next summer just because of COVID, but. We'll see how it develops. It is the Sun, though.
Listen, I don't even care at this point. Yeah? I don't care. I've been here with Dimitar. I've been here before with Bell. I don't care. Yeah? If he bounce, he bounce. Yeah? I want the 160 M's, whatever's been quoted. I want that in full payment. Not installments. 100% quota. Yeah? I want that immediately. So if Harry Kane is going... He's going, I don't really care because he doesn't really turn up in finals anyway. Yeah, I said it. I said it with chest. But what I'm going to say is that 160 mil, I've said it before on the podcast. I'm going to say it again. And I don't care who agrees or disagrees. I want real intent. If you get 160 mil for Harry Kane, call Dortmund tomorrow and tell them, look, we've got 110 mil for my man. Yeah? Take this now. Call my man's dad and said, look, listen, we're in the Conference League. We're not trying to stay there, yeah? We've got 20 mil for your son yearly. Have some of that 5 mil and chicken on the side because you know you're going to want some chicken after you've had that. And go for it big because my thing is this. This is the problem with Spurs. And a lot of fans will be like, ah, oh, nah, it's not going to work. We will get 160 mil for Kane or say 150 mil. And we will go and spend 25 mil on Danny Ings.
Danny Ings, yeah.
And then he'll get injured. He'll get injured in the second month. And we're hoping Son steps up to the plate. We're hoping Son decides it's going to be his purple patch and he's going to step up to the plate. I'm not here for that no more. I told you, the NSO do not play about. We're big time shooters out here. Yeah. You leave Kane. Go for a top-level striker. We're not here going for no prospect Fabio from Wolves. Go buy him for 60 million and have him sit on. No, we're not. We don't need that. I just saw somebody in the comments said, is Isk? How do you pronounce
Isaac. Isaac. I think he's just signed a death row contract, actually.
Man, don't care about the death row contract. Whatever the release clause is, yeah, get that
you yeah, leaving.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. If you're going to sell Kane, yeah, go get somebody that you can be like, that really makes the league say, you know what, Spurs sold Kane, but they're still a threat because whoever they just got is a real problem. That's what you want the league to think because what you're about to do, you're about to give City probably what the league's best striker, arguably. In terms of like goals,
not arguably.
Definitely. It's not arguing no more.
Because Aguero's left, innit? Yeah,
no, he
just won the golden ball and he got the most assists.
Exactly,
he's the best forward in the league.
You're gonna give them the best striker in the league, yeah. And everyone in their head is thinking, all right, cool. He goes up there, he's gonna be bagging for fun. Well, wait and see, innit? Don't just hype because you think this is how it works. It's not FIFA, it's not PES, innit? Let's see with the real eye test how he copes with them man up there because it's fitting in with your teammates. But in theory, he goes up there and he just wins trophies for fun. because he doesn't really have to do much of the work. City are good enough to kind of like get the job done on their own. And if he just sticks in, he's laughing.
Go on, Jack.
But yeah, like, I know you said it's not Football Manager and FIFA, whatever. I agree. I mean, not PES or FIFA, and I agree. But it's also not Football Manager. Haaland is going to look at Spurs, going to, you know, he's going to chuckle for a
money talks, B.
Money does talk, but at the same time, listen, we're not going to spend that. And number two, this should have, if this happened, that in 2017, you may have a point. Way Conference League fodder.
Listen,
Haaland is not going to want to play in that final.
I fully agree with you. I fully agree with you in terms of like where we are right now. It doesn't look good, yeah. And I do understand that. Yeah, man will be like, "Yo, Spurs are in for you." Ha ha ha. He. All of that stuff. I hear that. But the reason I'm saying money talks is because when City came back up, the only reason big time ballers were going to them is because they knew, right, these men have got a project. They want to get back to the top. They want to be challenging, blah, blah, blah. And they're spending peas. Like, let's be... City came up from the freaking championship and bought Robinho. Like, let's not act like that was some small... They bought Robinho from freaking Real Madrid. So it wasn't no small kind of thing. I know Spurs are in the dumps right now in terms of, like, how we've gone about the last year or so, or the last 2 years, but we haven't come up from the championship. So that's what I'm saying to man. The only way you can end nonsense talks with how we're perceived by fans and others is by actually spending the money, like actually going out and being like bold with it. Chelsea have been doing that for the last decade. Most of their fans were only born in 2010. It's nonsense, bro. Like, it's time that we see Spurs really come out here and be like have the cojones. That's all I'm asking for.
You're forgetting who our owners are. You're forgetting who our owners and chairman.
Yeah. And don't worry, Levy's still on the list to come on down. He ain't off the list, yeah? He's still on that bloody list.
Here's the thing. With replacing Kane, doesn't necessarily have to be a number nine, because I'm thinking that this is going to be ambitious as well. Obviously, I agree with Yao in the sense that we need to show that intent. Why not try and tempt Jack Grealish as well as Danny Ings to the club? And then we have Son who can play up top of him. Who knows? Who knows?
Seriously, last season was my Son is season for Son.
Sick up top. And I'd love Isak as well. I just don't think he wants to leave Real Sociedad for whatever reason. But yeah, man, like Isak, crazy feet. 6'4".
All of that purple patch stuff, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I hate purple patch forwards. I absolutely detest
it. They said that they thought Kane was going to be that guy when he first burst on the scene.
Yeah, but he proved himself wrong, didn't he? Like,
yeah, but
Son every season has done the purple patch thing. Son every season has done it.
Yeah, Kane worked hard. We have to allow Kane in the sense of he legitimately actually worked hard. You got to applaud him because even footballers like Van der Vaart was like, nobody rated him like that. He worked hard. He still works hard. And he tries. Son started off all right. Had his autumn purple patch, blew the rafters, got to December. His freaking documentary came out and lost all of him. Man went missing for the rest of the year. That's unacceptable. Yeah, that's the kind of behavior that puts you on the list. Yeah, that's why there's certain man on the freaking list. And you've already seen Lamella come on down. So you know there's a couple of men still yet to come. Just saying.
If we want to be harsh with our criteria for strikers, we'll just find strikers who have scored in finals.
You said that. You didn't need to go there.
Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, you didn't need to go there.
I feel like I did. The words out of Jack's mouth.
I'm a gunsman, but there was no... You came in with an AK.
I'm not brave enough to tweet it, like some.
You blew up the whole place. Hey, what happened? Because that's ridiculous. Like, how are we supposed to come into a house that's been blown up by Owen already?
Jack, what was you going to say, brother?
No, just what you said about strikers and finals. We'll end up signing a dare with someone. You know, that's what you want, That's what you want.
I mean, he did score.
He scored in the final. Winning goal, too.
Yeah, he did score, to be fair.
He's a better striker than Kane.
Exactly. Yeah, Hugo was drunk that day. Yeah, I could tell. You can't be beat from that far.
Yeah, yeah, the, yeah. He sipped a Di Serrano pre-match.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
he looked wavy anyway.
But we've got two star boys, but anyway, waiting to come up as well. So who knows? Maybe they can come up and show some serious intent. I just want to gloss over this quickly because we've already been recording for an hour. Spurs have been busy also just in their kind of recruitment side. We've just hired a new head of emerging talent by the name of Chris Perkins. Dave, just quickly, did you know much about him and what he can bring to Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, I knew more about the their academy, actually. So I used to teach a player who ended up going off to Derby. And yeah, they had a very, very, very good system for a number of years, and he was influential in doing that and putting that together. I think his role with Spurs is not necessarily coaching or like overseeing anything. It's more about scouting, looking around, finding players from, you know, the local area or even the London Southeast area, which we all know is a hotbed of talent. You'll be looking at them guys like an Eze. You know, can we get an Eze in quite early? Can we get a Bellingham in early into the club just to improve? Looking at pre-season, there are a lot of talent in our academy, but not necessarily first-team-ready talent. And I think that will be where he comes into his own in terms of looking for players who not only can come into the academy, but you're looking within 1 or 2 years, can be up there with the likes of Tanganga, Skip, and hopefully Scarlett next year. In terms of getting regular minutes in the first team. So it's exciting. It's nice. And we'll see what happens with it. It's one of them kind of background signings or you know, appointments in the club that you don't really realise the impact until 3, 4, 5 years time when players start coming through. So time is on our side, but Nuno seems to like dipping into the academy. Dan Levy's always spoken about that, that he wants to see players coming through. So let's see what happens. It can only be a positive in my book.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of replacing our old academy, head of academy, John McDermott, who's joined the FA. But yeah, Everton, not sure how much of his tenure aided this, but I mean, they've got a bit of history of bringing players into the first team from a young age groups, like players like Seamus Coleman, he was signed early, come through, Calvert-Lewin, Jonjo Kenny's had some first team appearances, Mason Holgate, Tom Davis. I mean, they may not be good, it depends on your opinion, but the point is, like, he aids in helping academy players come into the first team by the looks of it. And I feel like that kind of takes over from what Ryan Mason's role might have been before, because I feel like he was head of development before.
I think he's been shifted. I was reading about it earlier today. They kind of rebranded his role a little bit. They split it into two. So Chris Powell was actually head of coaching, I think, from the 17s to 23s. And then Mason's got an office. That's about it. Cool. It just seems like he's got an office.
He's just an intern.
Bless him.
Anyway, I don't want to speak on the man because I really don't like him. But he's got an office there, isn't
it? I like him in his shut up the place. He's just throwing shade on someone who interned for like 7-8 games. And
he's an admin assistant.
Hate him more than Tim Sherwood, yeah? No.
Yep.
Yeah. Tim Sherwood tried to win games.
No.
Yes,
I felt like Tim Sherwood is much more of an egotist, but yeah, Ryan Mason.
No, because
hold on. You've got to have an ego to be a manager. Yeah. Ryan Mason was a carpet, bro. Like, literally, Eric Dyer was coming to me, look, I want to play this week.
Tim Sherwood's just giving gilets to fans. He's dancing, doing poses and salutes on the pitch of players. He openly said in almost every interview that I deserve the job. I deserve it full time. I want it full time. It was, Ryan Mason was more coy about it and was just like, look.
Mason is a moose, bruv. Yeah, I said it with him.
Either way, ABB was worse than both. So I'm just
fair. That's fair. That's fair.
At least they tried to win games.
Yeah, yeah. Mason didn't even try to win games.
Have you not looked at what we saw?
I'm not having that.
What he was picking. The team.
Yeah, Jax, I'm not having that. AVB was... He got dealt hard, didn't it? It was the Portuguese tax that went against him. But Mason is an absolute virus. That's what he is. Yeah. Norton can't freaking save us from freaking Ryan Mason. That guy is... Oh, my goodness.
Fair play. We've been shifting him out of the club. His influence is pretty much...
Bro, he should be a
next to nothing now. He just serves to take bombs on holiday with him, I guess. But moving on, I guess... We've replaced him. Actions speak louder than words, and his role's been taken over by lovely Chris. So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out, because we do have a good youth system. And some of it was in display recently against Colchester. I only really caught, like, bits and pieces of the first half. So, Dave, I'll quickly come to you. What were your takeaways from... Just a quick takeaways from the Colchester game, because for intensive purposes, it was a pretty good performance.
It was good. We did what we had to do. Colchester was obviously the scene of where Pochettino, we drew with last time we played them, innit? One all, and then got knocked out of the cup on penalties at Colchester. So it's good to go back there and redress the balance of power. I can't believe I'm saying that with Spurs and Colchester. But yeah, no, it was decent enough. I think the combination of youth and experience was good. Son looks like he hasn't missed a beat from December. he's definitely got the Mourinho and Mason season out of his system, I think. And it's very sharp. Moura looked sharp, but Moura always looks sharp in pre-season. So I'm just going to keep it at that. In terms of the young players, Niall John, definitely. Scarlett. Definitely. Scarlett is a gunman. He's so cold.
Do you know what, Scarlett? He reminds me of one of those androids. Like, I can see the Night Tick or the Red Ribbon Army logo on him. I still think he looks like this cold android who just looks locked in.
He's got no regrets. No regrets.
None.
Any shot is a shot.
None.
It's an option for him. Do you know what I mean? And, like, you know, in the first game, he scored with his left foot. He had a goal ruled out for offside, but his movement was great. He's definitely just got that in him to really go for goal. Do you know what I mean? Which is what we need in a striker. And then Oliver Skip, I've got to save the best to last, because I think he came in and displayed everything that we've seen in the Championship. He's now looking at, he can push, you know, certain players out of the first team. You don't feel like you're missing anything out if he starts a game for Spurs in the league, or if he comes on at 60 minutes to try and help us see it out. You don't feel like we're dropping back a level. So Skip played very well. He played an absolute sumptuous pass, crossfield volley, well, half volley kind of thing, to Bergwijn. Bergwijn looks like he's just been in the
another player who played well.
Yeah, he played well, but he just looks like he's been in the gym. And to be honest, what you want to see from Bergwijn, you want to see Bergwijn finishing, but you made that little pass to Son. You can tell he was nervous.
No confidence.
He actually got lucky with that pass, I thought, because if you pass it across goal, you have to take the goalkeeper out the game.
And he didn't.
But the goalkeeper read it. He was quite unlucky not to save it as well. But he got the assist at the end of the day.
Some can finish. That's the only reason why that was, it wasn't because of a great pass into an open goal or anything like that. But, you know, like I said, 3-0. Whiteman played well as well. Yeah, he made some really good saves. For minutes wise, you know, there's no injuries that I can remember. Everyone got some minutes, but you do want to see. We've got MK Dons at the weekend, and then we've got Chelsea and Arsenal, which I think is where Chelsea and Arsenal on the 4th and the 8th of August, I think that's when you're going to really see what the team shapes up as. But it's good to see us getting a win, and from a tactical standpoint, playing higher up the pitch, some attacking patterns, the link up play was good. Let's go for it.
Bergwijn. I can't believe I've never seen that nickname before.
What, Bergwijn?
I can't believe it.
Bergwijn.
He does look like he's burning it off, though, a bit. So, I mean, he shouldn't be credited for going to the gym and losing weight as a professional footballer. He shouldn't be big in the first place, but...
Were you impressed with his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it. But
caught the highlights.
I caught the highlights. I saw that pass to Son. I mean, yeah, he looked devoid of any confidence at all. But we'll have to see. I think if we're going to get rid of that many players that are on the list, he isn't a priority. But let's just give him, I guess, give him another season to see if he can get more than one goal.
Mm. Yeah. Was there anyone else from what you saw in the highlights on the periphery of the first team, perhaps, that may or may not have impressed you? Or
yeah, no, John. I mean, yeah.
Mm.
Looked good in the highlights, looked lively. But again, there wasn't too many highlights of him. So, yeah, can't say much on that. But yeah, that pass from Skippy, though.
Harry Weeks made a few good, nice forward passes as well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who?
We do know.
Tom Davies.
Anyways, that move where both went past it across goal, that was all started off by a lovely passing between the lines from Harry Weeks. And I'm making a caveat. It's Colchester. But Jack has said this night, you've got to let me know. You've got to let me know whenever this guy makes a forward pass. And
we're talking about Oliver Skip. We're talking about now, John. We're talking about all this excitement from the academy, and Owen brings up Harry Winks.
Yeah,
what are you trying to do?
He should be happy. He's up in his value. Come on.
We don't need to be happy yet because he needs to go for peanuts. Because I don't care. He's dry.
he's the Southern Jay Spearing. Like, he is just I can't say it any other way. Like, he's the Southern Jay Spearing.
I just resist the fact that he seems to be just the main scapegoat for Spurs fans, even though he's not really even in the first team. There's people who have performed worse than him, right?
Who's worse than him? Who's worse than him?
Sissoko's had a worse season than Winks.
Sissoko doesn't count. Who's worse than Winks?
actual footballers.
Sissoko doesn't count. I want you to name me somebody that we can physically say we see on the pitch, yeah?
Let me say one thing, right? Last season in the league, we finished seventh. And we improved. We thought we'd improved in midfield. We signed Koulibaly. We played a Ndombele more. We finished seventh in the league. Where when we played Winks, a bulk of the games 19-20 season, we finished higher in the league. I mean, proof is in the pudding for me there, really. If he plays in a possession-based side, he does better and he can be effective still.
He can't be effective. He's a liar. That's what he is, a fraud.
First time he hasn't been in the first team for a while when we finished outside the top six. I don't think that's an accident, to be honest.
It's called Judge. That's what it's called. Because obviously he got upset that he wasn't in the team. So he spoke to some dangerous men, yeah, from particular regions, yeah, around the world, and they made it happen. Yeah. But we've realized that the Judge was around, so now it's time to get rid of it. It's battle.
I'm being shameless, but I mean, I just don't think he should be the main scapegoat. I think it's weird. I think if you're going to scapegoat a player, then you scapegoat a player who you expect more from. Like, I don't expect a huge deal from Harry Winks. I don't even expect him to be in the first team, but it's, yeah. I mean, I've said it time and time again.
His front door. That's how low my expectation is. I don't expect him to know how to get out of his own house, let alone find his way to the bloody pitch, yeah? But I have to deal with this guy. I know. I saw a few of those passes in the Colchester game and I thought to myself, oh, you know, that looked a bit different. But the truth of the matter is, it's Colchester. And none of it was special because I'd seen him do the same thing against Wolves and then get spun by Wolves for the rest of the game, yeah? Where Skippy on the half turn, he was like, yo, I don't even need to look at my man. And it landed on man's toes, yeah? Did you hear it? You could hear it, yeah? And then it landed on man's toes. With Winks, you just don't know what you're going to get at all.
Let's put it this way. If Winks was a postman, no one will be getting their mail. That's all I'm saying.
And on that note...
That is hot.
Can someone translate for me what he just said? Because, again, I don't understand parcel time.
That is hot. Hey, listen. Sorry, Jax has been on fire, yeah? And to be honest with you, as a member of the NSL, you can't really come after one of our brothers because we will come down on you, innit? But I understand if you attack him as well because he's been on a lot of he's on some form.
Yeah, I think everyone in the comments pretty much agrees with you guys when it comes to Harry Winks. But, you know, it is what it is. We pride ourselves on different opinions from different perspectives. Did you watch the game?
I did.
And what were your takeaways? Because there were a lot of positive notes without being shameless, to be fair.
A lot of positives. The guys have covered it very well. Niall John really did stick out. I think a lot of the guys that done well in or are doing okay in preseason are putting their name in the hat for the Conference League. I want to see Scarlett in the Conference League. I don't want to see Skip in the Conference League. There's certain players I want to see in the league and maybe the FA Cup, but I don't necessarily want to see them in the Conference League because I feel like we should leave that for more of the youngsters and kind of get them to develop their game a bit much there. I'm trying to think of who else really. Whiteman had a good game.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot because he obviously is a keeper, but he had a really good game. So he can take that and, you know, be happy with that. He's probably solidified his spot for the Conference League because it definitely ain't going to be Joey Blindman Hart. Like, it's not going to be that guy. So I think Whiteman will probably be the starting keeper. I do want to see a bit more of Alfie, to be fair.
Divine.
Do you think he should take Joe Hart's place, at least?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. We got too many Alfies and Harrys.
Yeah. Younger Alfie, sorry. Yeah, younger Alfie.
He played well. The bits I saw in the second half, his touches were...
Yeah, they were tidy. So, I want to see more of him. Not necessarily in the league. Because I don't want none of these youngsters to get bodied by these 42-year-old men that are masquerading as 33-year-olds here, right? So I'll just be happy if they, you know, go to the Conference League and do their thing there. But I'm not happy that people like Dyer and Ali are getting... Every time I saw these men touch ball, especially Ali, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy's got to go.
That was one of the worst goals I've ever seen as well, right. Ali's goal.
Horrible.
That was bad.
I feel it's disrespectful that you have dreads and got worse. It's like, there's no way you should have dreads and decline in ability. It's disrespectful to man like Hullet, man like all the great dreads of the footballing eras. Yeah, man like Seydorf before he lost his hair and came on home. Yeah, like these dread man shouldn't be disrespected by Ali and his boohoo blonde streaks. I ain't got time for that, bruv. Sell that you tomorrow.
It's mad. He's with the Stokes, well, how it is with Nuno. I think Dele might, from the looks of it, I feel like he's in Nuno's plans. I don't know if that's because it's a Levy or Paratici request to try and, you know, give him a remontada, or he's just performing very, very well in training. People, but
you don't give people remontadas. Do you know what I mean? Like, they got to earn it. They got to play that way. Then
that's the noises which have been coming out as well. Apparently, him and Bergwijn have been lighting it up in training. From the Colchester game, Dele looked pretty tidy and sharp in deeper areas, but weirdly shaky when he was actually in the box, which is the polar opposite of what his natural game really is. And I agree. His goal was very scatty. I didn't even see what body part he scored with in the end. It was fair play to Son, though. He pretty much put it on a plate for him. Bergwijn looks sharp, taking on players again. Again, Colchester, but he was taking on a lot of their players, isolating them, and we saw quite a bit of his dribbling. Alfie Whiteman, actually, I meant to say, I thought he had a good game as well. The Estonian Donny, who we signed as a young centre-back, showed really good personality. He's playing out of position. He looks pretty comfortable. A little shout-out to Mark Nuble. I'd say his name because their striker, is it Nublé? He was hooping. So it gave Vadia a good test. I think he failed it. I think he looked so shaky at times. So,
are we surprised?
No. I'm absolutely not. I'm just more disappointed than anything. Youngsters really looked sharp as well. Like Scarlett came on, scored an offside goal, looked sharp, looked a threat. Troy Parrott, I'm a bit disappointed in because I didn't really see much of him. He did a little twist and turn to work a chance, which looked okay, but I just want to see more of him because he's supposed to be ahead of Dane Scarlett in terms of development. But
Just looking at Troy Parrott, he doesn't look like he's fit. He doesn't look like he's in shape. I don't know. He looked like he was carrying a bit too much of that summer, the Willian body.
My God.
But no, yeah, he looked a bit, you know, he wasn't quite in the right shape. But we got the ECL. So them men are going to get minutes. Do you know what I mean? But it's good to have, as a striker, Parrott and Scarlett have them trying to best each other, because from what I hear from the academy, they're both very headstrong about being the next guy up. So it's good to have that competition. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I hear that. And obviously the main one who impressed me was Oliver Skipp. Like, I feel like I'm in that old press conference taking Harry Redknapp's place when he was talking up Frank Lampard in front of the supporters group, thinking he's going to go right to the very top, because I feel like as long as he stays injury free, he gets the minutes. I really think he is. I think going into the World Cup, he could be one of England's centre midfielders. Just the way he's constantly aware of everything around him and his decision making is spot on. Like, you watch him play the eye test, he's constantly looking around him, scanning around him. He always knows like what he's going to do when he picks up the ball, whether to feint one way or just release quickly. His passing range looks really, really good. His timing of pass is really good. And, of course, he loves to defend as well. So, yeah, for me, I mean, even I've only really seen him for a little bit this preseason, and I'm already ready for him to start against Man City, first game of the season. Low-pressure game because no one's really expecting us to get anything from it, especially if they have Harry Kane by then. So, yeah, why not throw him in at a deep end and see how he does? Because we need a player who's going to be as comfortable as Skip is on the ball against City's midfield. But, yeah, I guess that pretty much all wraps it up for the evening. We've been going on for nearly an hour and a half now. It is quarter to midnight as we record this.
Some people still watching, man. Shout out to those still watching.
Shout out. It's been a fun stream, man. People have been commenting in. Shout outs to you. Especially Romario Coys, I think he donated a little bit to us. So massive shout-outs to you, especially cast member Tops. He's on call for surgery at the moment at the NHS doing his thing. Still commenting, Deli is cooked. Still proud member of the NSO, even while we're in the trenches at the NHS. You've got to respect it. You've got to respect it. But yeah, Jack, Yao, Dave. Sorry, Dave, you were about to say.
Congrats to Tongi and Ndombele, who's just... I think his partner has just given birth to a baby boy, I think it was, which is why we haven't seen him in pre-season.
That would explain why he wasn't part of the squad.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't in the squad. So as we probably guessed, the boy probably came out dribbling out of the womb.
Lefaint Junior is on the birth certificate, yeah, I think.
I saw a tweet. The tweet said he body fainted out of the womb and sent the doctor for a hot dog and chips.
There we go. That's it right there. That's it. That's the Ndombele way.
That is sick, dude. That is lovely.
I was laughing midstream just when I saw that.
Paratici, sign his son up to the academy now.
Now.
Beg.
As long as Ryan Mason doesn't coach him.
Yeah, right. Ryan Mason wouldn't bring him. He would admit him completely.
Oh my God, I didn't realise the hate for Ryan Mason was so strong.
Ryan Mason will tell him to be an electrician or something. Like,
oh, but so real.
But yeah, boys, it's been an amazing pod, especially for the time which we're recording as well. We're all quite tired in this hot weather, but we churned out what was a rather fun pod in my opinion. So yeah, again, Jack, Yao, Dave, the new Spurs order. Thank you for listening again. We're out. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Just a little reminder as well. Check out Tops's page for donations to his cause. He's doing helping with open heart surgery in Nigeria soon as part of a charity. Please check that out and check out our podcast every Saturday or every stream on the Thursday. Peace out.
Peace.
Bye, bye.
On debut, Tunge Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Oh yeah!
Sports Social Podcast Network.